I'm so thankful. As we start 2023, we have a tender shepherd who will lead us through this next year. Visitors, again, we're thankful that you're here. And I didn't mention it, but if at the end of the service you'd be willing to stop by our information center, our visitor center, we do have a gift we'd like to give to you, and we'd like to just greet you to be able to meet you and say thank you for being here today. Well, Happy New Year. You know, I think the new year for a Christian ought to be really an optimistic thing. You know, as Risha sang there, there are treasures in the darkness. There are rainbows in the rain. As a Christian, even if it comes trials in front of us this year, we can still have an optimism about us that the Lord is with us, that he's going to bring us forth as gold through those trials. And I think all of us ought to have an optimistic outlook as Christians to this new year of 2023. But you know, not everybody has that attitude looking toward a new year. An article entitled, "What Does Happy New Year Even Really Mean?" by the Smithsonian Magazine. The article talks about Albert Einstein's opinion on time. When Albert Einstein's good friend, Michel Besso, died in 1955, Einstein wrote a letter to Besso's family in which he offered his scientific condolences by saying, "This is not important." Probably not a good way to start off your condolences about someone losing a relative, but he said, "This is not important. For us who are convinced physicists, the distinction between past, present, and future is only an illusion, however persistent." While Einstein was a very intelligent man, I think this statement proves several things about Einstein, apart from the fact that he was a terrible consoler. Number one, I think he was wrong about death. You know, death is very important. He said it's not important. It's very important because it's a dividing line between life and eternity. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." The day that we breathe our last breath on this earth, we enter eternity, whether it's eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. And that's also why death is very important, because it's a dividing line between heaven and hell. Daniel 12 and verse 2 shows that the dead shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. For the saved individual, it means eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." But for the unsaved man, it means an eternity in the torments of hell. Luke 16:23 gives us such an example. Speaking of the rich man that had died, it says, "And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments." Death is important. I think Einstein was wrong about death in this letter that he wrote, but I think Einstein, this is a pretty bold statement, all right? You ready for this? Einstein was wrong about time. Okay, don't throw the eggs, all right? But let me explain myself before we go any further. He said time is an illusion. I don't believe time is an illusion. Actually, I believe according to what the Bible says, which is ultimate truth, time is the ultimate reality. And sadly, Einstein would learn, ironically, just a few weeks after this letter, his time on this earth also came to an end. Time is not an illusion because, as we saw in our text this morning, God created time. He says, "This is the day that the Lord hath made." It's something tangible that God made for us. Hebrews 11:6 says that he framed the worlds. The word worlds there is a very interesting word. It's the Greek word ion. It's where we get our English word eon or ages. God framed the ages. He framed, he created time. Time is not an illusion. Time is a reality. It's a reality that God has created. But I want you to understand this morning, time isn't just a reality, it's an opportunity for us as Christians that God has gifted to us. Satan would have us all to believe that time is irrelevant because Satan wants us to waste the opportunities that God gives to us each day. "This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." And you know, every day that the Lord gives us in 2023 is a gift from God. How will we use that for the Lord? I want to preach a message this morning entitled "The Opportunities of a Lifetime." And when we realize that every second of life is a gift from God, we must take advantage of the time that God gives us in this new year, 2023. I want you to see three opportunities that God gives us with each new day. Notice number one, a new day is an opportunity to receive God's gift. To receive God's gift. Notice in our passage here, Psalm 118, and now we'll look at verses 19 through 23, preceding the text that we read. It says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness." We're going to talk about those gates in a second. "I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter." Verse 21, "I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and become my salvation." What is he talking about entering into these gates of righteousness? He's talking about salvation. In verse 22, "The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner." And by the way, this was a prophetic psalm looking forward to what Jesus Christ would do for us in providing salvation. He was that cornerstone that was rejected. In verse 23, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." And let me tell you, there's nothing more marvelous than the gift of salvation that God offers to each one of us. The reason the psalmist could rejoice in that day that the Lord had made was, in verse 24, was because he had received God's salvation. And I'll tell you what, the greatest day you'll ever have in life is the day that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, I want you to notice a couple things about receiving God's gift. Notice this opportunity is a choice. Look at verse 20. It says, "This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter." I think it's important for you to understand this morning that salvation is an opportunity. It's not something that is forced on you. It is a choice that you have. A choice to enter the gate of righteousness. And we see this choice regarding salvation laid out by Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. Hold your place here and turn to Matthew chapter 7. I don't think it's coincidence the wording that's used here in Psalm 118 and then the wording that the Lord Jesus uses in Matthew chapter number 7 in verses 13 through 14. Look at Matthew 7, 13, and look what the Lord says. We see this word gate again, don't we? Matthew 7, 13, 14. "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." You know what that shows me? Shows me that most of the world is trying to do good to go to heaven and try to get there in the wrong way, with wrong choices. See, there's two choices this morning. Jesus said you can go through the wide gate that many people are accepting, that many people are deceived by, or you can go in the narrow gate, which is through Jesus Christ, the only way of salvation. Which choice will you make? He says, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now listen, it's a choice though that you have to make. People can pray for you. They can invite you to church, maybe as you've been invited this morning. They can preach and teach to you. They can reason with you. They can show you the truth. But in the end, they cannot receive the gift for you. You have to enter in. It's a choice. But notice also, this opportunity, the gift of God, is a chance. Look at verse 22, going back to our passage. Verse 22 of Psalm 118. The Bible says, "The stone," speaking of Jesus Christ, "which the builders refused," speaking of those religious Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, these religious people had a chance to accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They had the chance. But the Bible tells us here, they squandered that chance. The builders refused. Didn't matter what they believed about Christ, though. He became the head cornerstone. You know, you can reject truth all you want, but truth is still truth. You can be blind to it. You can deny it. But the truth is still just that. You know, today, as you listen to the Word of God, you have a chance. You have a chance to reject salvation, or you have a chance to accept salvation. I think it's interesting that this verse prophesied a group of very religious people. These religious people had the chance to reject their empty religion, to reject their traditions, and to receive Jesus, God's Son, in a relationship. It wasn't about a religion, it was about a relationship with Jesus Christ. But they chose their empty religion instead of the Redeemer. You know, a chance, though, is an opportunity that may not return. You know, it may never return again because the Bible shows us that the Spirit of God doesn't have to convict you again. Titus 2 and verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared," past tense, "to all men." You know, the grace of God, God is good to every man and reveals himself to man. He reveals himself to man through creation. And God reveals light to men. It's a chance that a man has to either accept that light or to reject that light. Hebrews 3 and verse 15 says, "Today, if ye will hear his voice," whose voice? The voice of the Holy Spirit, the one who convicts us of truth, the one who shows us our need of salvation. "If you'll hear his voice," it says, "today, harden not your hearts." Listen, the Holy Spirit doesn't have to speak to your heart again. If you're sitting here this morning and you're lost and you've never been saved, you've never received the forgiveness of your sins through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary for you, and the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart that this is what you need to do, please listen. This is a chance that may not come again. He's not required to speak to your heart again, but notice too, it may never return again because you may not have another day. You know, entering 2023, there's a lot of people that don't realize 2023 will be the last year that they live. There's a lot of young people that don't realize that. You may not have another chance. Proverbs 27 and verse 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." I can remember in high school, friends that I had, that I hung out with every day, that I played basketball with, that I sat in classes with. I remember hearing the news one day of a horrible accident, which three of my friends were tragically killed. They never thought that year would be the year that their lives would end. They thought, I'm sure they were young and they were planning their plans for a long life. But listen, none of us have the guarantee of tomorrow. You know, I've talked to people and I've given them the gospel and shared with them the chance, the choice to receive salvation. They say, "Well, you know what? I hear what you're saying. That's all interesting. And later on, maybe that's what I'll do." Yeah, the problem is we may not have a later on. If God is speaking to your heart today, we don't know that we have tomorrow. Why not receive God's grace, his goodness, his salvation? Take opportunity of the chance that God gives to you to receive this gift. It'll be the greatest day that you've ever had in your life. Notice number two, a new day is an opportunity to receive God's gift. But number two, a new day is an opportunity to recognize God's goodness. I love this verse. We quoted it on the way to church this morning as a family. "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You know why the psalmist could rejoice in that day? It was because God is a good God, and the days that he gives us are full of his goodness. I love the verse that says his mercies are new every morning. That's a great encouragement to be able to wake up in the morning and know that God's mercies are new for that day. Now listen, if you're not seeing those mercies, maybe we're not looking good enough. But God's mercies are always there. His goodness is always there. I love how Psalm 118 starts, and I love how this passage ends. Look at verse 1, and then look at verse 29. Almost identical, except for, I think, one word. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Why? "For he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." And then verse 29 repeats the same sentiment, sandwiches everything, all the truths that we see in this passage, including the verse that was our text, says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." He could rejoice because he was convinced that the God that he serves is a good God. Aren't you thankful we serve a good God? We've seen his goodness, haven't we? Well, think about the incredible answers to prayer. You know, God answers big prayers. I think about the many, I look out in this congregation, I see many that I've prayed for when it comes to cancer. Cancer's a scary thing. I think we all understand that. But to look out and see many that the Lord has healed and has answered our prayer when it comes to that diagnosis of cancer. I'll never forget when he answered our prayer as a church to approve the ball fields for our church in the new site. What an awesome day that was. What a huge answer to prayer As a family, we've been praying for a long time about that. And to see how God miraculously answered, that was a big answer to prayer. I got my MRI this year recently and was a little nervous about it. I hadn't been in a while because of COVID and different things. 5 years, I think 5 years, 5 or 7 years had gone by since my last one. And the tumor that I have, I found out, hadn't grown at all. That was a big answer to prayer. But you know, I'm thankful the Lord doesn't just answer the big prayers. I am thankful he does that. But the Lord also answers the little prayers too, doesn't he? How many of you have ever lost your keys? Anybody else like me and you've lost your keys? How many have prayed, you lost your keys, and it wasn't, at that point in time, it wasn't a little prayer, right? It was a big prayer. This past summer, we were on vacation. And you know how vehicles now, the keys, it doesn't necessarily have to go in a key slot. It just has to be in the vehicle. And so we had rented a van, and we were out in Nevada, and we were also in California. We were coming back to Las Vegas, where we had flown in to fly out, and we had been in California. We were going through the place where the hottest temperature ever was recorded. I forget the name of the city. Do you remember the city, honey? I don't remember the name. Bakersfield, I think it was. Baker or Bakersfield, something like that. It's in Death Valley, if that tells you anything, okay? So we're in Death Valley, and we had stopped at a rest stop, used the restroom, and then we went a little further, and in Baker, I think it's Baker or Bakersfield, there's this huge thermometer. Just to remember, that's the place where the hottest temperature ever recorded. It's not a big city. There's just a few tourist little traps and some gas stations there. I'm sure there's a few people that live there in order to man those jobs. But when we got to that gas station, we were going to get out and get something to drink and throw the trash away and whatnot. We came to get back in the car and turn it on, and it said the key is not in the vehicle. Well, I'm looking around thinking, my wife's got to be still in there because she's got the key. No, she's sitting right next to me. And I'm thinking, where is the key? Well, we just threw all that trash away. And so I remember, I said, guys, we've got to get over that trash can quick. And have you ever seen these trash cans at rest stops and gas stations? They're the most beautiful things, all organized and everything. No! I mean, rotten mayonnaise and nasty burger leftover and this and other things that I can't talk about this morning. I dug through that whole trash can. There was another trash can we'd thrown stuff away in. We didn't just throw it in one. We had to throw it away in two trash cans. I wasn't doing that a second time. What I decided to do was take that whole bag out, bring it into the van, and see if the car would turn on. As nasty juice is leaking out onto the van, the car would not turn on. I got to tell you, I was panicked. This no longer was a small prayer request. This was a big prayer request. And we went inside. There are a few moments in my life when I felt like I literally have no options here. My daughter was sick, by the way. I mean, she was pretty sick. And she's sitting there, and she's got a fever, and she's laying her head on this bench, and I'm looking at her, and I'm looking at the other kid. Everybody's looking at me like, you're the father. You're the one that's supposed to handle everything. Thanks. And we just prayed again. I had no faith. We called the police. A policeman went out to the rest. I thought we dropped out of the rest stop we're in. Policeman went out, checked where our parking spot was. I called Ubers. Ubers weren't coming from Las Vegas 100 miles to where we were, 70 miles to where we were. No one was going to help us. I talked to the gas station. I said, we don't have any. He's like, I don't know what to do for you, man. I was like, okay, thanks. But I had a Lord in heaven who had an answer. And so we sat down and said, guys, let's just pray about it again. We prayed about it again. I don't know how many times we went through that van looking for the key. Andrew said, let's go out and look again. I said, Andrew, we've already looked at it. It's hot out there. All right, let's go. So we go outside, and we're looking through the van. And you know how some of these vans have like a cargo thing that seats can go down into? Andrew got the idea of looking down into one of those cargo things. And I guess when the key's battery has gone dead a little bit, you know, the key has a battery and it's not, maybe it doesn't have as much life, that the further it is away from whatever it activates to get the car on, it doesn't pick that signal up. He found the key down in the cargo thing. After hours of us at this rest stop panicking and figuring out on our vacation how we're ever going to get out of Death Valley. And I can't tell. I mean, we were jumping and hopping around that van. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. It was a great answer to prayer. You know, it's the little prayers and it's the big prayers, isn't it? Faithfulness in prayer. He said in Psalm 118 and verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. You know, each new day represents another day. to see God powerfully work through prayer. And I want to do a better job this year. Looking forward to how the Lord might answer my prayers each day. Praying more and looking forward to seeing what God is going to do through prayer. But then God's goodness is seen not only through his faithfulness in prayer, but his faithfulness in protection. Verse 6 of Psalm 118, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? How many of you have ever had it where you were stalled for a moment on the road and an accident happened in front of you? Maybe you had left your key and you forgot it and you went back in and you got it real quick. You came back out and as you're riding down the road, just moments in front of you. Anybody ever had that happen? I see hands. I've had that happen. And I've often thought, wow, how the Lord was protecting me. I can think of times when I had a deer run right in front of me, and it was just that moment, that amount of time that it took me to whatever, you know, I had left or whatever had hindered me a little bit, the Lord protected me. Aren't you thankful for the Lord's protection? I think my life is a big testimony of the Lord's protection. I remember my parents telling me a story when I was a little kid. I was playing with a toy, and I was in the living room, And they were in another room. My dad was pastoring at the time. They were with their bus director, and they came and they found me on the ground, and I wasn't breathing. And of course, you know, immediate reaction is to grab me and start hitting me on the back, see if I'm choking on a thing. And they're hitting me, and dad's trying to get me to breathe. And by this time, I'm turning pale and purple and different colors, and panic is really setting in. My dad sat me down, and he just had a quick word of prayer. I'm thankful it was a quick word of prayer, but he had a word of prayer over me, and he said, Lord, if you'll give our son back to you, we promise to give him back to you. If you give him back to us, we promise to give him back to you. And the Lord put something in my dad's mind to think and check my mouth again. And when he did, he found my tongue. I was swallowing. I was having a seizure, a febrile seizure. I was swallowing my tongue. And he reached his finger in and pulled out. It was like a vacuum cleaner. And I started breathing again. The Lord's protection. But you know, I look back on that and that incident, even though I don't remember it except from what they tell me, had a large part to play in me surrendering to the Lord to do whatever God wanted me to do. God's protection, I could talk many stories about God's protection in my life. Those of you that know me and the mission trips that we've been on, they're actually safe. It's just me, okay? Understand? Faithfulness and protection. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. And then God's goodness is seen through his faithfulness and provision. Verse 25, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Aren't you thankful for how the Lord prospers us? How he provides for us? I think about how the Lord allowed our church to buy some land for a few million, only to sell it for 26 million. Anybody else still astounded at that? Wow, it's amazing what the Lord does to provide for us. Not only does God provide our needs, but in Psalm 37:25, it says, I have not been young and now and old, yet have not seen the righteous forsaken nor the Lord's seed begging bread. Not only does he provide our needs, God also provides beyond what we could imagine. I think of Ephesians 3 and verse 20, where it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Sometimes I don't even have a great enough imagination to ask the Lord what I ought to ask. But the Lord answers prayer beyond what we could even ask. In fact, you can't contain the blessings that God pours out on you. The Bible says in Psalm 23 and verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. I love this. My cup runneth over. You can't even contain all that God can give to you. If we'll just walk with the Lord, if we'll just do what's right, if we'll just trust him and wait on the Lord like we ought to, he is faithful in provision. Boy, a new day is an opportunity to recognize God's goodness, faithfulness in prayer, faithfulness in protection, faithfulness in provision. Notice finally, a new day is an opportunity to represent God's grace. Boy, I'm just opening my heart up to you today. I want 2023 for me to be a better year of me witnessing and telling people about Jesus Christ. We don't know how much longer we've got. And God has put us here in Northern Virginia for a reason, folks. I know we don't always like everything that takes place in politics and government and different things around here, and none of us like the traffic, amen? But you know that traffic represents a bunch of people that need Jesus Christ. Boy, I got to do a better job representing the grace of God. I think we see several ways as we close that we can be representatives of salvation in this passage. Notice we can speak of his mercy. Look at Psalm 118, verses 2 through 4. It says, let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. And then, as if he didn't cover everybody, I think this is us. Let them that now fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Three times, of the five times that the word mercy is used in this passage, we're encouraged to speak, to communicate with others about God's mercy. Speaking of his mercy helps others to realize that we're all sinners in need of forgiveness. Listen, sometimes people can see religious people as people who look down their noses at other people. We think we're better than them. Oh, that's the furthest from the truth, isn't it? We're just sinners saved by grace. I love the song we sing. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, he took my place. Now I grow and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven, back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And let me tell you, when we brag on the mercy of the Lord, we're saying, look, I'm no better than you. We're all sinners. The Bible says it, Romans 3:23. But God, oh, he's a merciful God. And you can receive his mercy. How much do you speak of the mercy of the Lord? We can speak of his mercy. I see also in this passage, we can sing of his salvation. Look at verses 14 through 15. The Lord is my strength and song. Yes, I'm the music pastor and I'm going to get this in, okay? But it's in the scriptures. The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Hey, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice. That's what we do when we sing. And be glad in it. Hey, we sing of his salvation. Now, just a really quick lesson on music. Music has two primary purposes in the scripture. Number one, the purpose of music is to worship God. It's upward purpose. Psalm 40 and verse 3 says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. So when we sing, we're here to worship God. This is a worship service. Now listen, I'm not going to talk about a bunch of other churches and name churches, but I found that in a lot of churches nowadays, it's not about worship, it's about entertainment. But we're here to worship God. But there's a second purpose in music in this verse. Not only is it upward, but it is outward. It's a ministry. And the choir and orchestra will tell you that till I'm blue in the face, I share with them that what we do up here isn't entertainment, it's a ministry when we get up to sing before others. It's to testify of the Lord. It says there in that verse, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Not only does music have a purpose of lifting the Lord up, it has a purpose of evangelizing the lost. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. As you determine to rejoice and be glad in each day that the Lord makes in 2023, your rejoicing will be a testimony to the lost. And then I see we can shine our light. We can speak of his mercy. We can sing of his salvation. We can shine his light. It says in verse 27 there, God is the Lord which has showed us light. How does he show us light? Well, a lot of times he uses his people. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What does it mean to let our light shine? I'm not electrical, okay? Sometimes maybe my personality might come across that way, but I'm not electrical. What does it mean for my light to shine? Well, the Bible says, letting your light shine is by other people seeing your good works. See, if you preach the change that God can bring in the gospel and your life doesn't have any of that change, that's a contradiction. But when others see the good works, the change, Jesus Christ through us, then the light of Jesus Christ is reflected off our lives onto the lives of others. 2023 is an opportunity to let your light shine. Folks, I believe 2023 holds some great things in store for Temple Baptist Church. I really do. I can't wait to get in the new building. I'm looking forward to, and I think it won't be long when they light up that steeple. And that it's got, I've heard it's got lights in it. It's got lights on it. I can't wait to see that thing lit up off of Route 28 and Route 7. But can I tell you something? The real opportunity that we have isn't lighting up a light on a building. It's that we, Temple Baptist Church, will let our light shine in 2023. Let's bow our heads in prayer. What an opportunity lays before us this new year, this new day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let me ask you this morning. It's an opportunity each day to receive God's gift. You have that opportunity right now. It's a chance. Maybe an opportunity that doesn't return again. And so there is an urgency to receive that gift. But it's a choice. Nobody can force you to do it. In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come. Let someone show you from the scripture how you can receive the gift of salvation. It'll be the greatest day you've ever had in your life. And what a great way to start off 2023. By receiving God's gift of love. Christian, do you take time each day to recognize God's goodness? Are you a representative of God's grace? Maybe God's put someone on your heart that you need to let your light shine better this year. You need to pray for. You need to be a better witness. Will you let your light shine? It's an opportunity in 2023. Father, help us not to squander the wonderful opportunities that you give to us. Lord, help us to take full advantage each day of your goodness in our lives, that we might be good to others, Lord, and help them to see your goodness. And Father, if there's someone here today that's never received you as their Savior, give them the courage, Lord, to come. They'll never regret it, I know, Father, to come and let someone show them how they can, too, have that free gift of your salvation. Bless this invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.